Welcome to another Carlo and Lloyd Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, special guest, Sonny Moy. What's this, the third time we've had Sonny on?
Third or fourth?
Oh, I think it might be fourth time.
I think this is the best, like the biggest number that we've had of anyone, so it must be for a good reason.
Yeah, well, we looked for the best possible person we could get today. And Sonny, tell us
Not just today.
Yeah.
But overall.
Yeah. So, Sonny, yeah, the book's come out now. It's launched at the Central District Footy Club. That must have been a big day for you. Tell us a little bit about the experience on the day and a little bit about what's in the book.
Oh, thanks for that, Robert. You just put me in a spot. Really, it was a long day. It was a long day in the sense of I was there early, actually, to sign books. My right wrist is now killing me. No, that's not true. But the important part was, you know, the launching of the book, and I think it was a great honour for me to have the book launched by the Premier of South Australia, Honourable Stephen Marshall. And he spoke very highly when he introduced the launching of the book, but he also did the foreword for my book. And that in itself is very important.
You also had Tommy Zeick give a little bit of a talk.
Yeah, Tom's an old teammate. And I was surprised that he spoke and it was cut off very shortly, quick. We didn't want to go and carry on with that one.
I believe he was given 5 minutes and he stretched it to about 12 minutes.
That's Tom.
Nothing wrong with that. If you've got something to say, you've got to get it out there. Now, Sonny, this must have been, how do you feel now that it's been, the book's been written, it's been out there, and we will say, like, we now know that it's actually sold out, which is fabulous, but how are you feeling now after all this is now settled?
Well, initially I was a bit concerned. I thought, you know, that we'd come to a point where we weren't not likely to sell any or even sell a small amount, but I told Robert, our esteemed journalist, that my story is a little bit different than most. And basically I've been involved in a lot, not only in my football career, but I also worked in the police services. I also worked outside of that in the sports store for Tommy's Origin one stage. So I had all these different contacts right throughout the country, right throughout the state. And the interest that it created is fantastic. And I think I feel honoured that you sold the book. It's a long story, but it's an important one because it covers the different parts of the history of when I was removed as a child, part of the stolen generation. It's also a history of Central Districts because I'm one of their first players, and I'm a player, first player life member of Central as well as the first 200-game player. So that creates, in fact, the book blends in with the Poms to Premiers book that you guys did.
So tell us how this started. Like, where did this, the idea that, is it something that you've always wanted to do, tell your story, or is it something that sort of evolved over a period of time?
It evolves through different people at different times. When I was doing lectures with SAPOL, I was doing the cultural awareness training, and people knew that I was one of the children that were removed. And somebody would say, you should write a story, you should do an autobiography, Sean. And I thought about it for a while, but the catalyst to this event is that I was at one of my friend's funerals. Actually, people might know him, Tony Cassidy, when he passed. And there, in that funeral was Robert Laidlaw. And Robert's done the Poms to Premiers book with my other good mate of mine, Robin Mulholland. And I saw Robert and I said, look, mate, I think it's time I did my story because really I'm coming to a point. Tony is my age. Might be time's running out. I'd better do something about it. So that's how it started.
And so the process of writing it, it's been a couple of years. That must have been a real emotional roller coaster for you. I mean, thinking back into the past and I mean, where you are now in your life, but the impact, some of the things that you've done over your life and things that have happened to you have affected you.
Absolutely, Sean. I had some real concerns about really telling my story. I'm not one of those social people that like to spread things, but I thought if I'm going to tell it, I'll have to think very deeply about where I go here because a lot of it's very painful, you know, the memories, and it's very difficult to go back and recollect that. But it was very good. I thought deep in heart, and I've explained everything that happened to me as much as I can remember, and I still had pretty good memories, according to Robert. So,
well, one of the interesting things was chapter one ended up being about a trip to Alice Springs. Tell us a little bit about that trip to Alice Springs and the good fortune. You know, for me, it almost felt like your mum Nancy was looking over us, because everything just seemed to fall into place.
Yeah, that was quite amazing in that sense. My idea is to take you and Robin up there just to show you the country, the land, how the place existed. I took you out to, you know, to Yamba, and ran into young Christy Gorry out there also. It was unusual the same day. Then we came back and had lunch. While we were having lunch, that lady, Bessie Parsons, she knew what we were talking about and sent us to the Anglican Rectory to get the key to go out to St Mary's. When we were there, you guys took some photos of the old little chapel that we were used to when I grew up, and took a few others. But the whole thing seemed to balance itself out. When we went back, we then realised that there was a lady that was searching for me, an old sister. She was a nun, Sister Maggie. And we caught up with her, and that was a very emotional time.
To one thing personally, when you took Robin and I out, what was it, 20K out of Alice Springs to look at the Milky Way, that was absolutely sensational. I can't remember seeing a sky like that since I was a little boy.
That was fantastic. What it is if you get out away from what they call the light pollution in the town, and that's what my idea was, to take you out there and show you what I used to see as a little boy. Because I used to, you know, run around the creek beds and lay in the creek beds and look up and wonder what these things were. I still wonder what they were, but still now I know what they are. They're suns. And then had the galaxies on in the system. So, yeah, that was interesting.
So through the journey of writing the book, you've had to put up with Robert Laidlaw. Now, Robin Mulholland seems a really funny guy, real sense of humour. What's it like working with the man across the table here, Mr. Laidlaw?
No, Robert's a nice man. He's a very good journalist. I've got to say that, because he done his research very well. He worked very hard, but he didn't want to put me in a situation, and he would tell me that. So we would go through and work on the book in different ways. So now I'll give Robert credit for what he's done.
I want to give him credit too, because I make fun of him, of course, which he does to me, but he is a fabulous journalist and historian. So we'll pump his tyres up a little bit. I've got your book sitting here in front of me, and I'm really looking forward to reading it. And I know we won't share all the stories, but I was interested, obviously being taken from your family and then over time getting in touch with your family, like finding family members. What was that like finding people for the first time that were your family?
That's probably the most difficult part. I started looking for my family in probably late 60s, early 70s. But what people must remember this is that prior to 1967, I wasn't even a citizen of my land. 1967 referendum gave us the freedom to start looking at the Freedom of Information Act that Gough Whitlam brought in, looking at archives and, you know, going through government archives to find out actually what had occurred. And that took years to do that. And there was so much roadblocks in the system. And one incident, Sean, is that I went to get my birth certificate because I didn't have one. In fact, I went to New Zealand with my wife and a couple of my mates and that. And I couldn't get, she wouldn't let me back into Australia because I didn't know. So I had to do a stat deck to get, to say who I was, to get back in. So that sort of got me going, and I had to then start looking for documents to prove who I was. And even as recently as about 12 months, 18 months ago, I went to Centrelink to apply for a pension. And my birth certificate, which I supplied all my documents, They had no control. They said they lost it. I needed to supply another one. When I supplied the same birth certificate, they said, oh, this is not your birth certificate. I said, why is it not? He said, it's got a different code number on it. What they didn't realise was that code number was changed by the federal government from what I had to another code number. So I said, you need to go back and recheck this, because this is the only birth certificate I got. And finally got through. We finally got it all done. But that's just one aspect of what happened. I mean, I went through a lot. A lot of stuff through the archives, a lot of stuff to find out exactly who I was. But I was fortunate. I went to a reunion in Alice Springs and I found my sister. So that started my inroads back into the town. And she had different people that she knew. And then I found my cousins. So it's all turned out for the better from this point. Yeah.
That is a fabulous story. What is there things that you want from, like, I'm going to read your book. Now, when you thought about having your story told and putting it into this book, did you, were there things that you were hoping it would do for people or bring about some sort of change maybe?
Yes, my idea of the book was to give some guidance to the Indigenous kids, you know, from somebody that's went through a huge problem, adversity, to come out to have some success in life, maybe give somebody a bit of guidance. And that was my idea. And part of that also is the history of Central Districts. You know, this book will be a precursor to the Palms to Premiers, so it sort of marries with both, because my story is almost in parallel with the Palms to Premiers story, the footy.
Now, what about the meeting that you had with Sister Maglia? You were very emotional. Tell us, just talk us through those emotions when you met her and the significance of that day.
Yeah, that one was very difficult to, because my belief was when I was a young kid and I was removed and nobody came looking for me, I thought, well, that's it. They've just, my family's given up and they don't want to know who I am. Nobody's looking for me or searching for me. But to find out from her that my mother actually commissioned her to start looking for me, that's another story. And then your emotions come into it because we're all come from our mothers. And the hardest thing is not to understand that people wouldn't ever stop looking for you.
Now, because I've had a lot of dealings with you over the last 10 years or whatever, what about at the actual book launch, how did that emotionally affect you? I mean, obviously it was a good day. It was almost like, Sonny Mori, this is your life. Everything seemed to fall in place. Teammates were there. The premier launched the book. Tommy spoke. It was all just a fantastic experience. You had all your grandchildren there and both your daughters and your wife. What did that day mean to you? Was that like all your birthdays come at once, or what was the emotion?
Well, the emotion is that it was like, it's just like you said, Robert, it's like this is your life. And I've seen that played out on television many times. I think, you know, different family members that appear and speak about you and different friends and different mates and even people that are high officers like the Premier, in my case. I know it's a very important time. But it was also an emotional time because I noticed a couple of my grandkids were very emotional about it. And that was quite interesting, actually, in that sense.
So what's next? I mean, this has been, like, taken up a little bit of your time over the last few years. Is there things that you're keen to do next to move on to do something different?
Oh, not really, Sean. I'm surprised. Maybe a movie out of the book. No, not really. I don't think... No, I'm not.
How did you get to play you?
Jeepers, I don't know. I'd have to find some good young footballer. I'm pleased with the book. I think I'll just have a break from it for a while, Sean, and just relax and enjoy what life I've got left in. I'm 75 now, and I don't want to be pushing into it. I enjoy my golf. In fact, in the book, there's a couple of cartoons, which is some of the stories told by some of my golfing mates, and with the ball in certain trees and ricocheted across and ended up in the hole. And
so when your wrist recovers from all the signings, you'll be able to get back on the golf course.
I'll be playing Thursday, as a matter of fact, so I'm looking forward to it. Me and Laurie, so another football mate of Robert's. So we're having a hit Thursday, and then I'll play Saturday. Then after that, I'm up in the Riverland. I'm playing with the Vets, the Northern Vets, from Berry to, I think it's Barmer and all those golf courses up there.
Yeah, it was interesting. You did tell me about the three holes in ones, you showed me the trophies. But then when I talked to your partner, Tommy Clarkson, he explained your first hole in one where you actually hit it out of bounds, it hit a tree, rebounded back, went across the green, and it disappeared. And to your shock and pleasure, it was in the hole for a hole in one. Does that count if it goes out of bounds?
The ball's in play.
The ball never, it has to be actually touch the ground, doesn't it? And so if it's still in play, I mean, that shows a level of skill that the average golfer or even good golfer just doesn't have.
In fact, Robert, I probably would have thrown a boomerang, would have done a curl and came back. It's almost like the ball.
Oh, mate, this has been fantastic. Will you come again and do a fifth show with us in the near future?
I'll think about it. Perhaps Sean can invite me. I don't know about you, Robert.
Okay.
We'll invite you.
So ends another Cut Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carr.